It will be a very good word for us today.
Thank you, Steve. Morning, church. How are you all doing? Good. Are you good? You know, I've got my mother here. Most of you have probably met her. And it's just been really good having her around just to help with the kids and just to have a mother in the house. But I think it's been interesting for her watching the chaos of the house. You know, I had a few people this morning complimenting me on my outfit. And I was like, thank you. But I was thinking, if only you knew the hour I've had before I could put this outfit. It was just chaos. Starting off with, you know, we had to get Noctula here for practice, and she was ready for me to take her, and I said, look, I miscalculated. You're going to have to take an Uber. She tries to take an Uber, and she's panicking because she's like, it says it won't be here for another 9 minutes. So then I had to forget about the shower and rush in and get her to church and then, you know, go back. And then, you know, went back, had a shower, got dressed, everything. And then the next thing, we get in the car. And when we get in the car, we had to use a different car from the one that had the car seat. And the car seat wouldn't get out of it. We couldn't unbuckle it. So I had to move everybody back into a different car. It was just disastrous. You know. So, you know, don't believe what you see. Because there's chaos. So it was really good. And I was asking the Lord, I was like, surely this is not how everybody's life is. Surely it all stops at some point. You know? But then, pardon? Then another one comes, yes. But then, you know, I saw that song, Firm Foundation, and one of the lines was, there's joy in chaos. And I thought, okay, so really, instead of expecting that, okay, tomorrow will be better, next Sunday will be better, next Sunday won't be as chaotic, it's more about, okay, find the joy in the chaos. That's a principle to live by. So I just want to say welcome to any person who's here who is new. I'm Pastor Onami, if you don't know me. And everybody who's watching online, welcome to you. So if you've been listening lately, one of the things we've been saying when we're welcoming people, we say C3 Fremantle or Kwinana is a place to belong, a place to be planted, and a place to become. Last week, Pastor Stephen spoke about being planted and the importance of not moving from place to place, the importance of being rooted. Today, I'm going to talk about a place to belong. And next week, we're going to finish it off with a place to become. Belonging is about a sense of acceptance, feeling welcomed, understood, sense of identity, and feeling like you're an integral part of the larger group. An article from Psychology Today described belonging as this. Someone said this, and I really liked it. It says, belonging is showing others your authentic self and getting a thumbs up. Showing them your authentic self and getting a thumbs up. I then concluded that means if people show you their authentic self, their true self, and they get a thumbs down, they're not going to feel a sense of belonging. Bless you, Pastor Charlie. They will most likely feel rejected, isolated, and lonely. For any number of reasons, you may have already decided to make C3 Fremantle your home church. Maybe you just like the vibe, the people are friendly, you felt welcome. But maybe you're still checking it out. For me, one of the things that drew me to C3 Fremantle and Kwinana was the familiarity of the place. When I first came, 2019, from Port Hedland, having been in a C3 church, it just felt familiar. The worship, the passion for the word, it felt like home. And there was a presence. It may be different for you. Who knows, we don't always feel like we belong in the places that we are a part of. Whether it's your workplace, your school, your sporting groups, your family. And most relevant to what we're speaking about today, you may not always feel like you belong to the church that you have decided to be a part of. So today I want to look at the question of how can we become a church that is welcoming to the community such that people want to get to know us more and know what we're all about, but also how can we become a church that those who've decided to be planted want to remain and want to continue to build with us. So why must we as a church care so much about being a church that is known as a place to belong? Why is that so important? I want to start off by talking about broken vessels. Broken vessels. In Matthew 9, the Lord Jesus had been going through the towns and the villages, and he was teaching and he was healing diseases. And it says in verse 36 to 38, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. We are told the Lord saw the crowds as harassed, helpless, and he likens them to sheep without a shepherd. The question this raises, what happens to those crowds, that harvest, once the workers have gone out to find them? They need a place to belong. They need the church. But most importantly, they need you and I to be that safe place to belong. So I want to look at some statistics. Loneliness has been identified as a prevalent issue in Australian society. The State of the Nation report looking into social connection in Australia surveyed over 4,000 adults from the age of 18 to give a snapshot of Australia's understanding and experience of loneliness and social isolation. And these were the results. They found that 1 in 3 Australians feel lonely. It means if there's 3 of you sitting there, 1 of you is lonely. And they found that the young and middle-aged individuals were experiencing the highest levels of loneliness. You wouldn't necessarily think it in the world we live in, that the young people are in that category. They also found that there was no difference between men and women in terms of levels of loneliness. There was also no difference across the states. They looked at all the states in Australia in terms of, and territories, in terms of social isolation risk. So just because you live in New South Wales or in WA, it didn't make you less at risk of social isolation. I thought that was interesting. Because sometimes we think, you know, there's certain places that if I just live in this state, my life will be much better. I won't be as isolated. But the research states otherwise. The thing I found really interesting, though, was that although the people living in regional and remote areas were more likely to be socially isolated, it was just a very small difference in comparison to people in the cities. The difference was in the remote areas, remote and regional, it was 49%. And then in metropolitan cities, it was 44%. So I thought that was also interesting because, you know, you would assume that, you know, people sometimes think being in the city, you would be less lonely. Or you might think the other way around. So that was interesting. Now, you might be tempted to assume that the results would be very different for the church, for Christian surveys. But that's not necessarily the case. There's a ministry called Oxygen run by Katoomba Christian Convention in New South Wales, and they conducted a survey. And of the 300, they surveyed 300 church workers, including pastors, chaplains, children's and youth ministries, and missionaries across 14 denominations.
And the results showed that compared to people working in other not-for-profit organizations, church workers struggled more with loneliness. So 25% compared to 15% in other not-for-profit organizations. Now, obviously, this is a limited study in that it looked specifically at people who work in the church or for the church. But if we are going to look at a sense of belonging for those who are planted in the church, what better group to choose? Another interesting thing was that church workers reported high levels of burnout and mental health issues. So, lots to think about. I want to focus briefly on you and I as a safe place for people to feel that they belong. Because before the church can become a place to belong, you and I have to feel like that for the people we encounter. When we talk about C3 being a place to belong, we are talking about a culture, not just of the place, but of the types of individuals that are produced from this place. Because the thing is, unfortunately, some people, because of their negative experiences with the church and preconceived ideas about the church, they will never, ever walk through the four walls of a church building. And yet, that does not change the fact that they are still part of that harvest that the Lord was talking about. A harvest, you collect a harvest. He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers, right? So people that are, that the community, people who may not know Christ, we are to go and we collect a harvest. They also need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and the freedom and the peace and the joy that awaits them because of an encounter with Christ, even if they never walk through the doors of the church. The church must be a place of refuge and restoration for those that are harassed and helpless, like the Lord says. But it must also be a place for the workers to come back, to refresh, to rejuvenate, and then go back to the harvest field. So the answer is in you and I providing that place of belonging that people can experience when they encounter you. And I think it's a question that we all have to ask ourselves. When people experience me, what are they left with? Do they want to know more? Do they want to talk more? Or is it that they just can't wait to run? Do people see me and just want to turn the other way? We must, as a church, set aside any agendas we may have of trying to get people through the doors of the church. That should not be our main focus. That should not be the main thing. It's part of what we want to do, but it should not be the main focus. Our focus should be on being the kind of people that bring the kingdom to those who need it. You know, one of the jobs that I do during the week, I work in a medical center. And as I was preparing for this message, in my head, as I walked down the hall in the clinic, I started thinking about a place to belong. And I thought about it in the context of that particular place. And I prayed as I walked down that hallway that that place, that medical center, would be a place to belong for people who access that service. The type of people who may never walk through the doors of the church. And I believe that we must all pray that prayer for every place that God has placed us. Your workplace, your school, wherever the Lord has placed you, your prayer must be, Lord, may this be a place to belong. Because the thing is, you and I are the light in the darkness. You and I are the salt of the earth. We are ambassadors of Christ. We have answers. We have solutions. We are carriers of hope. And so when we pray that wherever we are should be a place to belong, we're really praying that the things that the Lord has said about us can be displayed. That's an opportunity to display those things in those environments. I want to look at a familiar story of the prodigal son who decided, right? There was two brothers. The younger brother decided to leave his family home to live on his own. But life got tough, really tough. And he decided to come back home. But I'll take it from verse 17, Luke 15, verse 17 to 24. It says, when he came to his senses, this is the younger brother, he said to himself, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. There's that word again. Filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. There are a number of lessons from this story that are worth noting. We see this younger brother was indeed like that broken vessel. He was harassed, worn out, stressed. He was helpless. And he was like a sheep without a shepherd. Except we are told that he came to his senses and remembered that he had somewhere and someone to go to. His father. So how can we become a church that is welcoming to the community such that people want to know us and what we are about? In order to become a welcoming church, we must first see ourselves as children belonging to a loving father, child of God. A loving father who welcomes us back into his loving arms as soon as we come to our senses and realize our need for him, our need for salvation through Jesus Christ. After we've gone our way. As I see my identity as a child of God, then I can make room for others to also be reunited with their Heavenly Father. I become a place to belong in how I show up in the community, in my speech, in my posture, in my language, in my attitude, in my focus, in how I live my life. I become invested in becoming a safe place. And I work hard to remove from my makeup anything that would cause people to not want anything to do with me. When we were at the C3 conference, there's a lot of really good talks. And there was a couple that is now in Canada, and they shared about, you know, they planted a church in Canada, But they spoke about, you know, the disillusionment, I suppose, of, you know, the thoughts you have about how it's going to be before you go into, you know, planting a church and the reality of it. And they talked about being hijacked twice. I think they said they were hijacked twice. And the reality hit them. Because sometimes we have this idea that when we are doing the things that God wants us to do, or when we are in the will of God, then everything is going to be great. We know the Lord Jesus was in the perfect will of God, and he died on the cross. I had a situation not too long ago where I had a client. I've never been called so many names in my life, like all sorts of names that I don't speak, you know. They were unhappy about something, and they were going down the hallway, and they were yelling, and they're talking about how they're going to put a complaint against me. I've only met this person twice, but anyway, they were going on about this. And after that, I remained calm, you know, but afterwards, I don't even know if she put in the complaint, not a big deal, but afterwards, I went outside, and I had to do some breathing. My head was spinning, and the thought in my head, I was like, I don't need this. Like, I don't need this. That was what was in my head. The problem is, I don't feel that I am to leave that place. I feel like the Lord is saying, stay put. Disillusionment, right? I just thought I'd just go in there and just do my thing, use my strengths. But now all sorts of emotions are coming up in that environment where I'm thinking, I could just leave this right now and it'll all be over. But who knows, that's when you get stunted growth, right? When you start taking steps of faith and you start doing what you believe the Lord is saying you should do, you're going to hit opposition. That is not the time to leave your station. And that's what I'm discovering. It's unpleasant, I'll tell you that. The most wonderful thing we get to do as workers sent out to the harvest field is highlighted in Luke 15, verse 21. We get to share the fact that not only is the Father ready to welcome his children with open arms, but that when you think you're not worthy, which a lot of people think when they think about church, because of your sin, this is what the Father says. It says this Father said, quick. He said, quick. There was a sense of urgency. He was talking to his servants when he discovered that his son was coming. Quick. Bring the best robe and put it on him. He didn't say the secondhand one, you know, the one he wore last time he was here. He said the best robe, which means those servants would have had to go somewhere and make sure they knew where the best robes were. They knew what he was talking about. And then he says, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. No skinny cows allowed. Fattened calf. He says, let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. That is the gospel. People need to know that they actually belong to a Father who can't wait to celebrate them. That's the picture we are to paint. You know, one thing I do with my daughter Gugu, who's 5, is in the morning I might be sitting, you know, waking up earlier so I can get in some time and sit there, reflect. When she comes into the room at the wrong time, because you don't want them waking up the same time as you when you're trying to do devotion, right? But sometimes it happens. So I'm sitting there, she'll come in. When she comes in, I consciously, intentionally make sure I put aside whatever is in my hand, whether it's my book or my computer, and I put it aside, and I become dramatic. Oh my goodness, it's you, right? And I was like, it's Guguletu, and I say all sorts of things, and all you see is a smile on her face because she's wondering, what is this? What's going? It can't be that exciting that I'm here. But I'm sending a message that when you come into my presence, everything stops. My attention is on you because you're that important. And that is the picture of the Father right here. He's asking his servants to make sure his son knows that everything stops because he's here. And that's really how we're going to show people that they belong. That's how we're going to make life with Christ attractive. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't need, he's got our role, but we're not the Holy Spirit. We're not to do what the Holy Spirit is to do. We're just meant to be ourselves and be human and be available and allow the spirits to operate in us, the gifts of the Spirit. That's all we're to do. The fruit of the Spirit are attractive. When people start seeing the love in you, the joy, the peace, they will be attracted to that because they are in a different type of chaos. We have joy in chaos because we have Christ. But people who don't know Christ don't necessarily have joy in chaos. So they need to see those fruits displayed. I'll finish soon, but the second question I said we are looking at is that how can we become a church that those who have decided to be planted, that's you and I, want to remain and want to build with us. When people have decided to be planted in a church and call C3 Fremantle or Kwinana home, they need to feel that they belong. Is that true or not? You need to feel like you belong. However, that can be tricky if you're still feeling isolated and unsure of where you fit in. The quickest way to feel connected, according to me, is to get involved in what is happening in the house that you have decided to be planted in. Don't sit back. Don't stand back. Sometimes we do that because that's all we know. But try something different. Ask questions. Try things out. Even if you think, oh, I'm not really good at that. Be part of something. Don't necessarily wait to be asked. Offer to help where you see a need. Whenever one of my kids wanted to have a piece of what I had, usually food, all they would say to me is, Mom, sharing is caring. And they knew they would get what they were asking for. There are certain things that as a church, we need to share with those that have come through our doors and want to remain and want to build. Matthew 28:19-20, we know this one. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. There are certain things that come with being in the house of God. Things that must be shared. Things that show we care. Making disciples. We want people to not only meet Jesus, but learn to sit at the feet of Jesus. The one whom they encounter and their lives are transformed. That's what being in the house offers you. It says we are to baptize. That's what being in the house offers you, right? You can be baptized somewhere else, obviously, not necessarily in the context of the church, but that is one of the things that come with being in the house. It says, teach them to obey. We want to teach people to obey the commands. It's a space to learn. The church environment provides a context to teach people God's ways, kingdom principles, and how to align your life to His will and His purpose for your life. And we do this confidently as we know He says, I will be with you through it all. I'll just get you to just stand up. We all know here, or if we don't, we'll get there, that there's nothing better than knowing Jesus Christ. It says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There are many who are trying to come to something, not necessarily to the Father, and they're finding different ways. So this morning, I just want to pray two prayers. One, I just want to pray, and we'll all do this as a church, a prayer for those who've never made a commitment to know Jesus and be reconnected with the Father. But the second prayer is, we're just going to pray that you and I would truly be a place for people to feel like they belong, that we can stand in the gap for the church. Because that's our position. We stand in the gap. The church has, because of, you know, there's things that have happened with the church, people don't trust the church. People don't want to hear anything about the church. But they might want to hear something about you when you show interest in their lives. So let's just pray together this salvation prayer with every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus.